I'd like to welcome you to the ministry of McCormick's Creek Church. We certainly hope that you will enjoy this selection.
Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Are you enjoying this beautiful, humid, hot, ring October, that's what I'm saying. Y'all that was praying it would get hot, well, it did. And I guess some people enjoy this. I can't imagine living in the South down where it's always hot and muggy. I can imagine, I can understand liking Florida or somewhere in January, but Lord have mercy. But I'm thankful that we live in a state with four seasons. Wait, does Indiana have four seasons or 10 or 12? Something like that. Amen. You may be seated. I need you to bear with me tonight. I tell you, I was feeling pretty good today, and about an hour and a half ago, I started feeling very bad and weak, and I hadn't felt like this in a while. So I'm going to ask you to keep me in your prayer. I may be up here. I'm just being honest. I may be up here 10 minutes. I may be up here 30 minutes. I need you to pray for me. I just all of a sudden not feeling up to par. So, but the Lord, I believe, will help me. And I'm glad to see Sister Julie here tonight. Bless you for being here. Amen. The church is praying for you and has your back. And we love you and your family. Thank you for being here. And continue to pray for her. She lost her husband. And we are very thankful for her and her family. And I want to talk this evening. And I hope I can keep my train of thought on. God revealed himself as faithful. God has revealed himself as faithful. I've said it many times, not to put doubt in people's hearts about other people, but how many of you know that men will let you down? I always tell my kids, and all any young person, that everybody will let you down. Some people will let you down on purpose, and some people will accidentally let you down. My mom was the greatest person in my life. My dad and my mama, the greatest people in my life. But mom's accidentally burnt my toast. She's accidentally messed up and accidentally let me down. But, you know, one thing about people that love you, they don't normally set out to hurt you or set out to do bad things to you. But sometimes people accidentally mess up. But one thing's for sure about God is he never even accidentally messes up. Brother Horton, not one time has he ever accidentally messed up. He's never forgotten about me. Matter of fact, the Bible's so specific about. He lets us know, he said, that God doesn't even slumber. He doesn't fall asleep when we're at night. He sees everything. He's everywhere at any given moment. David even said it. He said, if I make my bed in hell, there he is. He's at the very depth of everything. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He's always there. David, powerful man of God, man after God's own heart. He's known as a giant killer. He's known, as the Bible says, the light of Israel. He was so important to Israel that one day when he was getting dressed in his battle clothes, he was going out to kill giants. Some of his men looked at him and said, come on, David, King. He said, you're important to us. And we don't doubt you, and we don't doubt your ability to kill the enemy and kill giants. But he said, you've taught us how to kill giants. We're going to keep you safe. And David, he was just a powerful man of God. And he had made many statements throughout the Psalms throughout the Word of God that were very, very powerful. But there was one statement that he says that's probably most impactful to my life, and whether you consciously know it, it's impacted your life, is when he said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." In other words, he's always faithful. And that meant a lot, what he said, but it probably wouldn't have meant as much as it did if he would have made that statement, Brother Krause, when he was probably the fittest and strongest in his life. He was killing lions, and he was killing bears in order to protect his father's sheep, and he was killing Goliath. And after that, he wiped armies of the enemy out, and he taught all these men how to kill giants, and he was just a very powerful man. But if he would have said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken when he was a young man, most of us, especially older people, probably would have said, look, you haven't seen much in your life and you don't have that much experience. So, but it meant a lot, and it means a lot to me, and it should mean a lot to you, that David, right before he said that, he said, look, I was young, but now I'm old. I've taken a journey, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread, which to the young people, we should say, wow, you've lived a long time, elder. You're right. You've went through more battles. You've seen more victories. You've been through a lot more things than I have. And for you to say that, that means a lot. And I know some of the older people in this place can truthfully tell you that they've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. That's why the Bible, I believe with all my heart, that's why Jesus said in his word, he said, if there's any sick among you, call before the elders of the church. Why didn't he say call before the young? Now, I'm not trying to not acknowledge the faith of a small child, but there's something powerful and that God can use in an elder for him to be able to call the elders of the church. And I believe that is experience and our testimony. And therefore that produces faith and trust in God. So when there's to be the laying hands and transferring of virtue and healing power, it's going to come out of a man or a woman that understands that God is a faithful God, and he's an on-time God, and he's never left us, and he's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He's faithful. Everything that we know and believe about God and his word is based on his faithfulness. Hear me. If our relationship, was based on how faithful we are to God, some of us would be in trouble. And it's a sad thing that there are people in the church and outside the church and on the fence of being in the church or not in church, if God was as faithful to them as they were faithful to God, God would only visit them once a year. Maybe on Easter. Maybe on Easter and Christmas. Or maybe on Father's Day and Mother's Day. We can name all the holidays. We got people that are, they measure their faithfulness to God by how much they show up to church. And so we got people that only show up for church just on holidays. Then there's those that only have, they're faithful to God maybe on those holidays and on Sunday morning. And Sunday night and Wednesday night. But I'm thankful. I really am. And it's something we say. I'm thankful for his faithfulness. I'm thankful that he's always been faithful to me. That blows my mind. The God of this world, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that which is and which was, the Almighty. He's always been. He's all powerful. He fills all space. And to think that he is faithful, Brother Horton, to me, he's faithful to you. That boggles my mind. He really does care. He's not some off in the distance God that's detached from his people that only understands us some of the time and knows what we're going through some of the time, that he knows you more than you know you. And he's taken special interest in us. He knows about every sparrow and every bird. He knows every hair that's on our head. I know that's not a lot with me. Matter of fact, he knows me so well, he knows every hair that's fallen out. I mean, he knows everything. I know I'm making a joke, but he knows every move that we make. And I'm thankful him getting involved in my life. He's not a distant God. He is a very personal God. David said that Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And I'm thankful this evening that to know that it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, that he does care. Care, Sister Julie, what you're going through. He understands how you feel. He knows what you're going through. He cares. When other people seem distant in your life, just know that Jesus cares. He knows everything about us. And when we really, truly start understanding that he is faithful to us, we can understand that how much he loves us. One of the greatest disappointments in life is when we find out and how a friend proves to be unfaithful to us. Again, whether it's purposely or on purpose, the breaking of a friend's promise dissolves friendships and crushes us because we expect them to be trustworthy. Again, accident and on purpose. Knowing that we can't always count on man. Even though that they may love us and you may love them, there is potential for you to let them down and there's potential for them to let you down. The world and everything in it is short-lived. And that's just how men are. But God does not change. He does not waver. While men continually change and they'll like you based on the conditions around you, and they'll be faithful to you according to their own potential. But God does not waver, making his faithfulness permanent, unchanging as well. And so let me tell you how he's faithful. Malachi 3:6, he said, I am the Lord and I change not. Knowing that he is consistent, he doesn't have mood changes. He's not happy today and upset tomorrow. He's not in a good mood on this day and then the next day, depending on how everything goes, he doesn't get happy. He's not flighty. He's not fickle. He doesn't change. And knowing that God doesn't change, we can understand that he is faithful just as sure as he does not change, we know he is faithful. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me just insert this right here. It really doesn't have anything to do with that, does it? It's connected. That because God doesn't change, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, his word doesn't change. Do you hear me? His word doesn't change. Religions change. Men's traditions change. Churches change. People's minds change. The way people worship changes. The way people pray changes. The way people worship changes. The way people have church changes. But God doesn't change. Doesn't. See, people the churches that are dead all over this world, the dead churches. People say, well, what happened? God just doesn't move as much as he used to. And we don't have church as much as they used to. And I just read you a scripture to tell you that Jesus Christ does not change. So if anything changed in the church, it's not Jesus. It's God. It's the people of God. God doesn't break covenants. People of God, he built a covenant to the Jews. And I'm going to tell you right now, when the whole world falls around our ears, the covenant of Jesus Christ with him and his people, God will always stand, and he's always faithful to the people of God. You read it, study it, and I don't want to get it ahead of me, my notes, and I may end up, but listen to this. The people of God continually changing. One day they're worshiping God, the next day they're worshiping a cow. One day they're worshiping God, and the next day they're building golden images. Man of God left for, was it 40 days? Moses left, was it 40 days? He went and visited a mountain, and in that day, time they went. This is how fickle men are. It just blows my mind. These are the same people that was on the receiving end of the greatest miracles that was ever wrought. Shoes grew on their feet. Manna falls from heaven. Their clothes never wore out. Cloud by day led them around. A fire by night. Manna fallen from heaven. He parted the Red Sea, and all these incredible things. These same people, they was without the man of God for 40 days. Just to show you how fickle and unfaithful men can be. These are the people of God. These are the people that serve one God. These weren't the other denomination. These were the Pentecostals, if you will. They went around collecting everybody's earrings and everybody's bracelets and everybody's bands and going around and said, let's melt this down. They took the time to melt it into a golden calf. And when Moses came down off the mountain, he finds them all dancing around a golden calf. Can't believe. Here God sending Moses with the tablets, the law, to keep them grounded, to keep them in and have standards and rules to help save them, and they're worshiping false gods. Moses breaks the tablets, goes back, you know the story. But here's all after that. God was still faithful to the people of God. He still loved them. He still led them. And just to let you know, I know that God it will sit on a judgment throne. Right now he's sitting on the mercy seat, but eventually he'll sit on the judgment throne. But hear me, I don't care where you've done or messed up or how unfaithful you've been to God. He's still going to be faithful to you. I've talked to many people. I say many. Some of y'all have talked to more. You're older than I am. I have more experience. But I've talked to a lot of men and women that were on their deathbed. And the one thing that every single one of them can vouch for is that Jesus Christ has never left them or forsaken them. They said, I've messed up. I've failed so many times. I've done so many bad things. But one thing's for sure, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. He's faithful. And unlike God, the world is in flux. According to the second law of thermodynamics, commonly known as the law of increased, the quality of matter or energy deteriorates gradually over time. And we're accustomed to seeing that. Everything around us gets old. It deteriorates. This affects not only the universe and nature, but it affects our bodies. Somebody's got the knee aches. Say amen. Everything will disintegrate. Everything will fail you. Everything falters. That nice car that you don't want anybody drinking in about 4 months, before long, the new wears off. Before long, you're going to be drinking milkshakes and stopping by Jiffy Treat. Everything falls. Everything gets old. Everything doesn't mean what it used to in your life. Everything. And we grow accustomed to that. Our memory, our eyesight, we acquire wrinkles and illness and aches. Along with that, our possessions get tattered, dented, ripped and rusted. Relationships change. Family and friendships fracture in men. Everything in our world is temporary. Nothing is constant. To borrow a common passage, biblical phrase, all of these things come to pass. Everything in this world will come and they'll go. People that we love will come in our life and they'll die. And we got people that used to be our friends that loved us, that treated us good. Before long, they'll reject us. But I'm saying all that to say this. We get used to putting our faith in things that fail. But one thing's for sure, Jesus Christ will never let us down. He'll never let us down. I can't tell you how many times I have failed it in my life. For the same exact thing I have failed him in. Now, when I was a kid, not my father, but when I was a kid, I was under the assumption that, I was talking to somebody the other day who said that it was Alan Motter. He said when he was a kid, he was afraid to go to sleep because he was afraid that he wasn't going to make it to heaven if he died. And I remember the same thing. I told a lie. Or something. I'd lie once in a while, didn't I, Dad? Why are you lying now? All the time. Oh, I did. I'd lie about everything. But I even though I didn't show much repentance to my mom and dad, I'd lie in bed at night and I'd be scared to death that I was going to die and go to hell. I'm not joking. And that right there, it's actually a good thing to have a healthy respect and fear unto God. I think that's something that a lot of people don't have anymore. People just sin and fail and they don't care. But I used to, and so I had that feeling, and I knew that God at times would chastise him. But one thing's for sure that I didn't really understand when I was a kid. That he is faithful to forgive. And see, we forget that a lot of times. We've heard it in Pentecost. And I'm not giving people license to sin or go out and fail. Some of the older people in there, I just need you to bear with me just for one second. This is not me telling people it's okay, go be what you want. That's not what we should strive to be right. We should strive to be perfect. We should strive to be the best people we can be. We should strive to be just like Jesus. But let me tell you something. Jesus forgives, and his mercy, the Bible says, endureth forever. Then it went on to say, in his mercy, it's been made new every single day. And he is faithful to forgive. The Bible says it. If we fail, I can't quote it exactly, can't remember. It says, but if we fail, that we have an advocate with the Father, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. Now, I've heard people say, well, there's a limit. There will be. But there's a limit to how much God will forgive you. But I'm getting ready to tell you. And I've said it before, but I'm getting ready. I need you to hear me. This I feel very strongly to tell somebody this tonight. I'm getting ready to show you how much love and mercy and forgiveness that Jesus has. One of the disciples came to Jesus one day and said, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? How much? You remember? Seven what? 70 times 7. Mathematicians, is that 490 times. 490 times. That's a day. Did you hear what I said? That is a day. And God spoke to me and he said, do you think that I would expect that out of you, to forgive your brother 490 times a day and not hold myself to that same kind of mercy? Did you hear what I said? Do you think that God would expect you to be faithful in to forgive people 7 times 70? Hear me. I need you to understand something. That God's mercy far exceeds any one of ours. And God loves more than any one of us. And he's so much more faithful than any one of us. So if you feel like you've gone too far and that you can't be redeemed, just know that Jesus Christ is more faithful than what he expects us to be. And that's what I can't leave this right now, because I feel like there's somebody here tonight that you feel, you know, you've failed, and you've asked for forgiveness, and the devil, and it's been today. Just today. And I expect to hear about it after church. Somebody's going to come to me. Just today, the devil has tried to lead you to believe that you're not salvageable and you can't be forgiven because you've thought something or you've done something. And God is sending me tonight to tell you that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive you. I feel that very strongly. I got to find myself where I was back in my notes. So I gave you an Old Testament example of God being faithful. Children of Israel continued to be unfaithful, but God continued to hold his end of the bargain. Let me tell you, go on further than that. Well, that was thousands of years that he was faithful to his people. God is still faithful to the Jewish nation. He told him, he said, I'll bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. You know how many nations have raised their fists, or their guns at the people of God in Israel, and God has slapped them around, knocked them around, and God will continue to do that. And the nations that will bless Israel, God will continue to bless them. And I'm 100% convinced that the reason that the United States has had so many blessings on our nation is because we've always been blessed with leadership that blessed Israel. And for those that continue try to come against God's people, they're going to reap some bad things. And the reason is because even though that Israel may have turned their back on God, God is still faithful to bless the people. Let me tell you how faithful he has been to the seed of Abraham. And you remember the story when Abraham told God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to give you a child, you and Sarah. One was what, a 90, and the other one, how old was Abraham? Was it 99? Or Sarah was 90. Either way, Sarah was 90, and God said, I'm going to give you a child. Abraham, the knucklehead that he had been at the time, they're trying to figure out how in the world they're going to have a child. Sarah said, well, why don't you go visit Hagar? Hagar's a younger woman. It was wrong, but he went. They had a child with Hagar. Hagar produces a child called Ishmael. And you know what God said about Ishmael? Even though Ishmael was born wrong and it was a wrong thing to do and it shouldn't have happened, God still said, I'm still going to bless him because I'm still faithful to my covenant, even though you failed. And he still blessed him and he still was faithful. So I'm not saying that God rewards failure. You ready for this? God does not reward failure, but he still rewards failures, not based on your own self-worth, but he's faithful to failures because he doesn't squelch or go back on his promises. Sam Walton, he died. He never walked in truth, never was baptized in Jesus' name. I don't believe he was filled with the Holy Ghost, but he was faithful to God in the in aspect of giving. He started out giving 10% of tithe, and then he ended up giving like I don't want to tell the untruth, but it was way beyond 10%. But God blessed him, didn't he, Brother Horton, simply based on because he gave. And God said, you know what? If you give, you shall receive. God is good on his promises. It kind of makes you feel guilty about when you let him down. So when you make decisions in your life, what you need to do is stop and pause and say, you know what? God's faithful to me. Before you go and say what you're going to say, just know that God is faithful to you. Just know before you make your decision, whether it is in your family, whatever decision it is, know that God is always faithful to you. So what I'm saying is live your life knowing that God has never let you down. And he'll continue to be faithful to you. Even though you may not be faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to you. New Testament example. Jesus had just told the disciples of his impending passion and death when Peter interrupts. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. It's a proof that God, that men is not faithful, but God stays faithful. And when the temple guards came after he said it, I'll never let you down. I'm faithful to you. I'll die for you. Temple guards came to arrest Jesus in the garden. Peter draws his sword. He took a swipe at one of the servants of the high priest. But that show of impassioned loyalty evaporated during the long, anxious hours in the cold. The shadowy courtyard of the high priest's palace before the night was over. Peter was unfaithful and betrayed Jesus three times. And as Jesus had told him, just goes to show you that men, even though that they are unfaithful to God, God's still faithful because he told Peter before Peter denied him. He looks at him and he says, I'm going to give you a name change. He changes his name from Simon to Peter. Simon literally meant reed, which meant that every time the conditions change, he vacillated. Every time the wind blew from the east, he'd go that way. He just flowed with every time the conditions changed. He never was the same. Peter, he changed his name to Peter, which literally means foundation or rock. And he didn't change his name after he changed. I want you to notice that. He changed his name before he changed it, before Peter changed his own characteristics. And God changes him. And he gave him something to live up to. He changes his name to Peter, hoping Peter would realize that he needed to be faithful to God. He reminds Peter, he said, I am the chief cornerstone. I am the rock. And through the course of Peter's unfaithfulness, after he failed God, after Jesus was put in a grave and comes back, he tells, and you made the point the other night, Brother Horton, when they came back, Peter was lurking somewhere off in the distance. Jesus knew he being the Alpha and the Omega, and used common sense, knowing that Peter wasn't going to feel right. What Peter was going to be feel like he wasn't a part of the men of God anymore, especially after he cursed Jesus three times, and he was reminded. He realized his unfaithfulness to God, and Jesus understood that if he didn't tell the two women when he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. What he was reminding Peter is, look, I'm still faithful to you, even though you're not faithful to me. And it blows my mind, Nell. It blows my mind that Peter was the biggest failure in that garden that day. But when he walked out of there and after he failed God, that Jesus would walk up to him and hand him the keys to the kingdom and say, I want you. Why didn't he let John the Beloved? Wouldn't it made more sense to let John the Beloved preach that gospel? He's the one that was laying his head in the heart of Jesus, listening to the blood pump through the heart of God. And it would made more sense that the one that talked about love and loving Jesus, he's the one that he should preach the gospel, right? He's the one that should carry the gospel. More people would listen to John than listen to Peter. And why in the world did he let Peter preach? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus, it was a display. He was saying, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to you even through your failures. And throughout the scripture, you'll find that Jesus used failures more than he used people that had it all together. It's a display of and telling us Jesus is faithful despite of all of our failures. And I'm thankful tonight that even though that I'm not perfect. And if you were honest, you would say, I'm not perfect, but I know that Jesus is perfect. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I may not have it all together, but Jesus that's in me is faithful. He's faithful. Just show you the how fickle men are. God wanted to use Jonah. God knew Jonah was going to run before Jonah ran. He knew before he called him, God knew everything that was going to happen. He wasn't surprised by it. He tells Jonah, he said, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach to them. We know the story. Jonah leaves. He runs. There's some theologians that believe that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because Nineveh was so full of debauchery and so full of hate. They was very brutal people. If you study history, there's fragments of history that talks about the people of Nineveh. They were cannibals. They were killers. They had no remorse. They didn't care about it. People, they would sacrifice their own children. And if it meant them getting ahead, they would kill their own children. If there was too many people in their household and they just didn't want to feed them. They were such brutal people. And God finds Jonah. Now think about this. He was the most faithful when he could find. He was the best of the best. I need you to pay attention to this. Jonah was the best of the best. He was the cream of the crop. He was the preacher. God calls him. The best of the best starts running. It just blows my mind. I mean, it's almost funny when you start thinking about it. That's the preacher, guys. He's running. He's supposed to be faithful. He's the most faithful one we got. And he goes the opposite direction in which God tells him to. We know the story. He's there. He's on the boat. Storm comes. Jonah recognizes his lack of faithfulness to God. He says, you know what, guys, it's my fault. Throw me over. He throws him over. He gets swallowed by that great fish. We know he's in the belly of the well for 3 days. He prays and praises and hell spits him out on the bank because hell doesn't like anything to do with praise and worship. And so he walks up there and the whole city was saved. Through their sickness, through their hate and their crime filled streets and their pain that they've afflicted on people, they're faithful to, or they come to God and God saves them. And it blows my mind. Jonah's confused and he's mad. And after he preached, man, I would have been happy. I don't know what he preached, brother. Brother Krause, all I know is it had to be good because he didn't have the Holy Ghost. There was no anointing. There was no song service, no praise singers. And he preaches this message, 10 minutes, whatever, he preaches, and a whole city full of crime and hate and murder, they all get saved. They turn towards God. And Jonah gets ticked off. He's sitting behind under a tree and he's pouting. He's confused. You know why? Because he's equating God. He thinks God's supposed to hate like he hates. And he thinks God's supposed to punish people like he would punish people. Some theologians believe that Jonah was mad because the Ninevites, I've read history books, and theologians believe that the reason why Jonah was still mad after God saved Nineveh, most people would be happy. But Jonah was mad. They believe that Jonah had family that the Ninevites killed. And Jonah was hoping that even though he preaches this message, that God would still destroy him. But as bad as they were, Brother Horton, God still came through on his promise and saved a bunch of murderers and a bunch of convicts and people that did not deserve to live. God spared a whole city. I'm gonna tell you right now, as much hate as in the world, with the Muslims killing Christians and the liberals hating on Christians and the snowflakes that we sit back and we despise from a distance and can't stand their action. Let me tell you something. God can still allow the gospel to be preached, and God can still be faithful to generations that don't deserve to hear the gospel. To save anybody. You know why? Because he's faithful. He's faithful. He'll save anybody. That's faithfulness. And so I feel very strong. I feel very strongly that what not only this church needs to understand, and as what the church as a whole needs to understand, that God's grace and mercy and compassion is for everybody. Because it's easy. Let's face it. Let's just put ourselves and look at those people like Jonah did. With all the world the way it is, and hate and all the junk that's going on, we sit back. Maybe it's you. Or not just you, but maybe it's me. May sit back and go, wait. Just wait, folks. God's going to send a lightning bolt down. He's going to annihilate every single one of you. I can't wait. Just like the sons of Korah, we're going to sit back and the ground's going to swallow them up. And there's a part of us that sit back and go, I can't wait. Just wait. But know that Jesus is a God of compassion. And a faithful God when we're not, when we hate and wish people harm. Jesus still loves. He was faithful to Paul when Paul was a killer of the Christians, stood there and held the coat of the ones that bashed the brains out of Stephen. Stephen goes down praying and repenting for Paul when Paul's standing there, a self-righteous dude. God should have struck him with lightning, Brother Horton, but God didn't. He struck him down all right, but he took his side. He said, you know what? I love you and I'm faithful to you. And he saved Paul, and Paul became the greatest preacher that ever preached, and he was a killer of the Christians. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. I want everybody to close their eyes tonight, and I want you to lift your voice, and I want you to lift your voice to Him and your hands to heaven, and I want you to thank Him for being faithful to you. And I'm asking you right now to begin to pray a prayer of compassion on a lost and dying world. Know that Jesus loves the world. That's what He said in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who shall ever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Hallelujah. 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 We deserve to die. We should have never made it. Every one of us has been failures, sinners, saved by grace. And if you're all very extremely honest, you don't have to say it. You don't have to reveal it. But you know you failed Him. You've let Him down. You've let people down. You've let your family down. Jesus has never let you down. And He's always been faithful. And if you were very honest before Him, you could say the exact same thing that David said. I was young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Thank you, Jesus, for being faithful to us. You didn't have to be. You didn't have to save me. You didn't have to pull me out of the miry clay. You didn't have to heal me. You didn't have to heal my son. You didn't have to heal my family, but you did. You're faithful. Despite what happens in my life, knowing that life, sometimes things happen, you still remain faithful and you're God forever. You change not. You're the first and the last and the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You change not. Thankful. Can we sing that song, Surely the Presence? I know you're playing a different song. It says, Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Aren't you glad He's faithful to you? Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Hallelujah, sing it. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I'm thankful for His faithfulness. We talk about the prodigal son. We pray for him every Sunday. Every Sunday and every Wednesday we pray about the prodigal son. Prodigal son, there's so many applications to that story. But the one of the applications that is the most prominent, it reveals the lack of consistency of the son. But it also illuminates the fact that the Father never leaves the home and He never ceases being the Father. And from the view of the Son, He recognizes His unfaithfulness to His Father and He says, I can't be a son anymore. The Father says, no, you don't understand. This relationship is empowered not by you, but I'm the Father, and you don't stop being the son or the daughter. because I'm faithful. And regardless how much you say you're not, and you realize you're not faithful, the Father's always faithful. And He doesn't stop being dad. And even though you don't feel like the son or daughter, just know that He'll never leave nor forsake you. I'm thankful. Aren't you glad tonight that dad never stops being dad? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for a faithful God.